Hey Sedbury, Dave Kurt, broker of record with Lake City Realty, coming at you. It's been a minute, been a while, but with another episode of the Real Sedbury Real Estate Podcast. Thank you guys for being patient with me and bearing with me. It's been just an insane last few weeks, just personally with everything that I've been had going on, busyness with the family, end of the hockey season. This is, those that aren't aware, I actually coached three different hockey teams all winter long. Everything kind of just wrapped up in the last few weeks. In addition to that, I also coach two of my kids playing basketball on the same team, and I get to sponsor, well, almost every single one of the hockey teams as well as the basketball team. To me, that's one of the best parts about being running a small business in the community, is being that community player and actually stepping up and making an impact both for these kids that are there, but also being involved in the activities that my kids get to play, because it is so much fun. First and foremost, building the relationships with them, but also their friends, and just seeing the little successes that each one of these kids has been able to achieve over the course of a year, a season, whether it's on the ice or on the basketball court, was absolutely fantastic. So couldn't be more thrilled, but that was one of the reasons I haven't been able to be as consistent on the mic lately, and I do hope to get back to a little bit more consistency with a once-a-week podcast. So thank you very much, and bear with me, and I apologize for those that, you know, stuck with me and were looking for those updates and weren't able to get them. I have been doing the email newsletter, and we've been blasting it on Twitter as well and a few different places, so hopefully you've been able to at least get some of my content, but not even if it wasn't over YouTube or over a podcast form. So, but what's going on? Man, it's been one crazy week. Sudbury this week, so we saw 32 sales happen this week, 13 additional conditional deals, 22 of those 32 sales happened in multiple offers, 41 new listings, and a total of 164 listings in the market. If you start looking at the actual, what these numbers look like, extrapolated over the last few weeks too, 32 sales, last week we saw 19, but the week before was 36, then 28. That 19 might have been explained with the Easter long weekend. That could be one reason that we saw the big dip. And I think looking back at the fact that we were able to return with a lot better numbers this week and a lot more consistent numbers back in the 30s, that makes sense as to the slowdown last week. 13 conditional deals, that's actually dropped from last week, which was 20. I think what we're seeing is most of the offers that are coming back to the table are unconditional offers. They're offers that are not financing, home inspection. They're just like quote unquote cash deals, which I've submitted a bunch of, and people don't understand that it's not actual briefcase full of cash they're gonna bring to the sellers. It's just that they're taking the risk that they're not gonna need to have a deal that's contingent on a home inspection or the bank saying yes to them buying the property. And in those cases, usually we're working with the banks in advance to make sure the buyers feel comfortable with the numbers they're offering, as well as doing pre-inspections on property so that they've already walked through the home and done a home inspection. But 22 out of those 32 deals happened in multiple offers, which was an uptake. That's about 66%, and that brings us back to way beyond the 50% that we've seen in the last few weeks. And 41 new listings. This is the other area that's really interesting, is 45 a month ago, 43 3 weeks ago, 44, then 41. The new listings continue to pull back. And we actually made the projection that we would see more new listings come the spring marketplace, and most of the snow has melted now, and this is kind of when we would be in the spring. Now the question kind of revolves around, is the idea that the winter market is still here because of how long the snow lasted? Is everything kind of pushed back by a month or so? But that's still up to try to figure out exactly what's going on in terms of that. But the interesting part that's tied to that is the total listings available, which at this week we sit at 164. That's not enough listings for this time in the marketplace. We would expect this to be, you know, closing in on 180 by now, as we approach, you know, mid 200s for the spring/summer marketplace. So a lot to take in with the, when I kind of look to dissect the stats from that last the last 7 days. That was my first kind of thought on exactly what was happening around the numbers. What's my second thought on the marketplace though is, why is inventory dropping across Canada? It's a question that, like, it's been on a lot of people's mind, and historically we're hearing that there's 20-year lows in inventory across Canada. Now, Sudbury, we are actually seeing this, the numbers this year slightly higher than last year, but the number of new listings are not higher. When I took a look at this year compared to last year, so this week compared to last year's, this same week, we had 70 new listings come out, and this week we had 41. And if I went back 2 years, we actually had 90 new listings come out and 41 this week. So we're almost at 50% of the product that's coming out. There's a bunch of stuff that's sitting, and whether that's new builds, right now they're sitting about 35 new constructions out of that 165 homes that are available in the marketplace. But why are we not seeing these listings increase? And to break this down, what I'm saying to people is that what we saw happen is we saw prices kind of peak in March of 2022. So not that a lot of people were buying at that time, but just people felt wealthy in March of 2022. They looked at their neighbor's house was selling at whatever price point, and they're like, well, look at me. I only have a $300,000 mortgage. My neighbor sold at $550,000. I feel wealthy with equity. Then when the marketplace kind of peaked and pulled back, we saw a 20% pullback across Canada. So, you know, that was a significant number to come down. It was $100,000 plus in a lot of marketplaces, including Sudbury. When that marketplace pulled back, the homeowners, even if they didn't buy or sell, they felt less wealthy, which means that based on an equity play, they don't have access to as much equity in their home, and they just kind of felt like, things are going up, like what's going to happen? Inflation is running wild. The cost of everything continues to increase, as well as the mortgage rates were increasing. And a lot of people didn't need to renew or still haven't renewed yet. But the idea that their renewal is now coming up in 24 months and their rate of 1.7% is not going to be the rate that they get next time. They're going to be looking at 5%. They're preparing themselves to be in that mindset of, this is how much it's going to cost to live in this house. That's the reason we're not seeing these step-up buyers kind of jump up and put their house in the market and try to buy a bigger house, is because they're preparing themselves. They see that money's going to be tight in the future. They don't feel as wealthy as they have in the past. And because of that, they're just saying, I'm going to stay put. We're going to give it some time to pay down the mortgage and get used to paying the bills in this new world of how much money costs before we would do something like list our property. That's why we've seen the number one part of this marketplace be that entry-level homes, whether it's people that have passed away or gone to a home, or rental houses that have gone put back on the marketplace. Those are the bulk of what's moved the marketplace, especially in that first-time homebuyer price point. And due to that, that's the people that are sitting on the sidelines right now. It's not a lot of the step-up buyers. It's the first-time homebuyers that are jumping at these, which has actually pushed the price for these first-time homes up, you know, considerably with all the demand. And it actually makes an opportunity for the step-up buyers that would say, well, I can get a premium for my house because how many people are shopping for that first-time homebuyer price point. And the second step-up homes might not be as competitive, but we still aren't seeing it, again, based on those factors of people wanting to just get used to the higher rates and the idea that they're not in as strong of an equity play as they were previously. Long-winded explanation, but that's kind of what's going on with why the rates are, with why the inventory is low, especially for step-up homes. Takeaway three for the market this week is, I think one of the biggest shocks this week was the number of offers on some of these properties. Previously, multiple offers, 3, 4, 5 offers is kind of what we expected, especially just based on that last point, talking about that entry-level price point of homes. But this week was different. It felt different. There was times I was involved with offers where there was 17 offers on properties that are in the mid to low 400s. That's insane. That also means that there's 16 buyers that tried to buy it that thought, you know what, I'm going to make a competitive offer here, that didn't end up getting the property, which is like, it's eye-opening to see the amount of demand that is sitting on the sidelines waiting to hop in this marketplace. With this much demand waiting, I think we're truly going to see a shift pushing prices up in the short term. And I've said it for months now, I think this is a supply-driven marketplace. And with supply decreasing and demand currently at the levels that it's at, I could see everything pointing to increases in price points in the near future. Takeaway four for this week is the latest news on inflation. It fell close, just over 4%. I think it was 4.3% this week, making the smallest increase actually since August of 2021, which is a huge win for Tiff Mccallum, who decided to halt his rate increases in the past few meetings, and it seems like he's made the right choice here. It's been tough because the Bank of Canada wants to target this 2% rate. Tiff made this big prediction that he would see 3% rates by the end of the summer. I think a lot of people were skeptical of that, especially when rates were hovering around 5%. But now we're back to 4%. Like, this seems like it's going to be reasonable. It is so difficult to get back to 2%. It's easy to, like in a lot of things in life, it's easy to get 90% of the way there. That last 10% is extra difficult, with the reason everything costs more. People have just accepted that the cost of going to the grocery store is going to be more, of, you know, pumping at the gas is going to be more, the trip that they're taking is going to be more, the car that they're buying is going to be more, and the houses that they're in is going to be more. In turn, they've asked for higher money at work, and we're seeing that play out this week with the big CRA strike. Anybody that's driven down Notre Dame has seen the amount of people that are on the sidelines there. And this is a strike happening all across Canada right now with federal workers that are demanding, I think I've heard, like 22% increase in over the 3 years is what they're looking for. And like maybe this is reasonable with the idea that they haven't received these cost of living and wage increases in quite a while. But the idea that, you know, they're going to get 10, 15, whatever they ultimately settle at, percent more money, that means there's more money in the economy, more money circulating, and it's going to cost everything to be more. What happens when there's more money in the economy is assets go up in value. What's an asset? An asset could be a car, could be a boat that you're looking to buy, or it's a house. And that's what typically is going to happen in inflationary periods. When we hit the bottom, we're going to see this new baseline increase. And I think that assets are going to be more expensive in the future. And that thus housing is going to be continue to increase based off that as well. With that idea that we got back to 4%, though, that kind of shows Tiff Mccallum as somebody that had a crystal ball here. And as he made the right moves when he needed to tame inflation. And it also kind of points that we're headed towards a soft landing, especially when we see how strong the job numbers are compared to where we are in the economy, which is probably amazing news in the overall thinking for Canada. And that basically we're headed towards, we printed so much money, we dealt with a crazy pandemic, we shut down the like world economies, we've tried to reopen everything, we're doing our best to kind of play catch up on things, and we've gone through some big spikes and decreases. But the fact that we could be through the worst of it now, that would be a really amazing sign for our economy overall. Takeaway five, though, where does the market go from here? In the short and midterm, the low listings and high demand is going to put pressure on prices to increase further. Recently, we've seen some new records new record sale prices show up on offer date, and I don't think that's going to stop. What you get when you get new record offers on offer date is, in turn, that the neighbors are going to say, well, if I list my house, I want to be able to get just as much, and I should be able to get more money because my house has granite countertops and their house had laminate, or my house has hardwood and they had vinyl, or whatever that looks like, right? So that continues to fuel prices higher. The minute that we get new records set for sale prices, that will work its way and continue to increase prices over the short term. Now, the question is, will we hit a point where buyers say, I understand that house sold for $635. There's no way I thought that house was worth $635. I thought that house was worth $600 max. That's all I'm going to be willing to pay in the future. Maybe. But when we have 4, 5, 17 offers on homes, that's not likely to happen because the buyers are saying, I'm okay with, I wrap my head around the interest payments, the idea that your house was priced at that, and I was comfortable to make offers close to whatever those values were. When that unfolds, we're going to see those prices increase across the board. And right now, we're sitting around 425, 430 as an average price point. I made the big, bold prediction. I know I haven't done it on a podcast, but I made the big, bold prediction a few weeks ago that we, by the end of 2023, would close in on a $500,000 average sale price again. That's kind of where we're headed. And that's where my big, bold prediction is, when we see the numbers shake out in the economy that we're seeing happen now and the number of offers, if we don't get a doubling of listings, which it doesn't look like, and listings continue to pull back, I think that we're headed to some pretty significant price increases over the next, couple of quarters here. So that's my big bold predictions for this week. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for either watching me on YouTube, listening to me on Spotify, or wherever you're listening to me. Hopefully you're having a great weekend, Sebri, and look forward to connecting next week. Until then, see you later.